welcome to another thrilling episode of Truth and Reconciliation. It's the Pellwood Fantasy Football League podcast. He's Peter Elwood. I'm Seth Martin. It is great to have you with us. Peter, how are you, sir?
I'm feeling a little bit nervous this week, actually. I looked at the calendar, looked at the schedule, and was a little taken aback that we are crossing the halfway mark in the fantasy football regular season this week. And it's snuck up on me, and I don't, sure. don't feel great about that. So it's making me sweat a little.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that this week is week 7 already, and we're already halfway to the playoffs. And man, oh man, in the squishing factor, the teams are looking a little bit more even in the standings. We've seen some upsets. We've just seen the middle come to fruition as you and I were anticipating over the past couple weeks. It is definitely a hairy league, but it's been a good season so far. The competition has been fierce. The trade winds have been blowing. The overall, I would say, unpredictability of our league is certainly in play. What is your assessment having reached this milestone mark of the season, Pete?
I think we need to trademark squishing factor. I feel like that's I feel like that's our term, and we came up with it, and we should get royalty if anyone else uses it. It's gonna end up on SportsCenter here pretty soon, I'm pretty sure. And I would like to be collecting a check.
I know. That. I mean, it's very clear. It makes perfect sense. When we talk about what we mean, there's squishing in the league.
Right. Right. No. We're all squishing. But yeah, it's we got our final winless team. He got a victory last week.
Right.
We saw one of the top teams lose. And so we see a lot of people tied in the middle with two teams outside of the playoff picture right now at 3-3, while two teams would be in the playoffs at 3-3. So
sure.
It's looking like it's shaping up to come down to the wire with lots of teams hovering around 500 right on the playoff bubble. So that's fun. But so like I said, nervous about where we are in the season, but I am excited for tonight's show.
That's right. Why, what's got you excited about tonight's show? Particularly,
we've got two special guests.
That's right.
And, so why don't you go ahead and bring on the first one now?
That's right. Well, tonight we have a caller on the line. This guy has been a good friend of ours for many years now. He's been a part of our league for many as well. He is the famous capitan of the ever-changing team names. In fact, this year was, I think, one of the first years in our season where he kept his name the same. I think he maybe has finally kind of settled in to a name that he really enjoys. That is, of course, Brent Powell, captain of the Spanish Inquisition. Brent, you're on the air with Truth and Reconciliation. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Now, I think the team name is likely, we should give credit where it's due. I believe that's probably because he won the lead last year, and you kind of got to stick with the team name that won you the lead. Is that a fair assessment, Brent?
I think it's a little bit of both. Yes, that's part of it for sure. And then on top of that, apparently a lot of people don't change their names too much, and our league's really shifted that direction where people stop changing their names. And so I kind of got on board with that, especially because I started forgetting what all my old team names were, and I would go back through the list of years of, okay, which team was I that year, and which team was I that year, and just made it more difficult to go back over the history of the league. So I thought maybe a little bit of consistency might be good too.
Sure. I have been annoyed at that before, looking back at lead pages from 2009, 2010. You just look at the final standings and try to figure out who was who. It would be nice if we had the team manager names on there, not just the team names, because like there's this one guy named like the Lipton Tea Baggers in our league one year. And I was like, who in the world would do that?
I seem to remember that league having, or that team having, a phenomenal logo, if I remember right. Just an absolutely outstanding Photoshop job, if I remember correctly.
Speaking of Photoshop jobs, one of the reasons I wanted to have Brent on this week in particular, because normally we like to have, you know, teams on who are relevant one way or another, and that is the case this week as well. It's just that A lot of times we've had a team on because they are having a great season, they're undefeated, we want to hear about their success, or
right.
like last week, they made big moves, we want to talk about those big moves. Brent, yeah, you're making some moves, not having great success, but what you have done this week is set out on a crusade to create a team t-shirt for each member of our league, and I think you've got four down so far. And why don't you just share with us what's the genesis of this idea that you had?
Well, I thought it was rather clear. You know, Seth is obviously the topper in the league. He likes to do everything a little bit bigger and a little bit better than everybody else. And quite frankly, I think it's a little bit pretentious and rude of him to just show off constantly at everything except for winning the league.
What do you mean? I have no idea what you're referring to. Whatsoever.
I just wanted to level the playing field. I'm all about parody. I know we're big on parody here, and so I thought everybody having their own glorious shirts of awesome would just level that playing field a little bit.
Very strong move. I did want to talk to you about some of the designs a little bit. So for instance, mine was so my team name is Raymond Hessel's Breakfast, which we all know is from Fight Club. The greatest movie in the world. But you put on mine a picture of Brad Pitt from Fight Club. Totally makes sense. And he is holding a bowl of cereal, which also I'm tracking, you know, from Fight Club, breakfast, got it. However, the cereal he's holding is Lucky Charms. He is wearing a leprechaun's hat. And the words on the shirt say, "They're great." So there's a lot going on here, and I'm getting some mixed messages because we've got Fight Club mixed with Lucky Charms mixed with Tony the Tiger tagline. And I don't really know what to say even. It's just this is just me appreciating what you've done here.
I just think he just hit the senses. I mean, there's so much, you know, homage being paid inside this graphic. It's clearly,
I love it, but I'm confused. You know,
it's an allegory, Pete. It's an allegory.
What does it mean, Brent? What does it mean?
I think that you just described exactly that the shirt is having the desired effect. You've hit the nail on the head. Yes.
I'm having a hard time not changing my team photo.
I don't know why you haven't. I mean, I know that the sunglass ripping off GIF is a very intimidating icon that you use, but I can't imagine what's more intimidating than being destroyed by a crazy looking Brad Pitt with a leprechaun hat and Lucky Charms and blood on his face. Like, I don't think you can get more intimidating than that, really. It's sadistic. Yeah. Like, it reminds me of the scene where, "You don't know where I've been, Lou." Like, that's what I think of, that degree of craziness.
Yeah. I think what's important to keep in context here is it makes the viewer of the artwork into Raymond Hessel himself, and you can just picture yourself receiving your breakfast that morning.
So, yeah, Brent, would you describe yourself? So, Brent, I take it you would describe yourself as more of an abstract artist. You really, the beauty, or rather the interpretation, is in the eye of the beholder. Is that more the tapestry you're going for?
No, not at all. I would say, as the first thing that pops into my mind when I think of Raymond Hessel's Breakfast is Brad Pitt holding a bowl of Lucky Charms with a leprechaun hat on his head,
all right, well,
saying, yeah, "They're great."
It feels very literal.
I'm a little surprised that that's not your first thing that pops into your head.
It feels very literal, and it also feels like it's the kind of art that I don't fully understand or appreciate. And there will be a documentary made about it, which everyone will say is fantastic.
It's so bad, it's good.
That's I will watch that documentary with the same puzzled expression on my face that I had the first time I experienced this form of art.
Oh, goodness gracious. Well, following Pete's design, you went ahead and took on Garland Gankers as you got Jared Lorenz's shirt designed. And Pete, would you want to take a stab? I like this game. Describe Brent's artwork.
So the Garland Gankers, which I am still not totally clear what a ganker is. I believe I asked Jared at the draft. I don't remember what he said. It was the draft. You know, your mind just turns to mush. I don't remember what a ganker was. I think, don't even know. But what we have here is the Hamburglar carrying some holiday garland over his shoulder saying, "All your garlands are belong to us." Which, again, a lot going on here. It's several different elements being combined in a way that makes complete sense and yet leaves me a little bit perplexed and confused on the inside.
And I think that's what Brent's going for.
Yes.
So success. I hopped over to Urban Dictionary just to fill us both in. Apparently, ganker, or to gank, it's a verb, obviously. Ganking is a word commonly used in online video games, usually in MMORPGs. Ganking is the process of which a group of characters gang up on one or more players that do not have a chance to defend themselves. Wow, Jared. Wow. So not only are you a nerd, you're a vicious, vicious nerd. All right.
We're all nerds here.
All right. Clear that up. I don't know. They're on the hierarchy of nerds, I'd put football nerd higher than MMORPG nerd. Up next was Andy's shirt. We had Urban Cowboys. Pete, you ready to take this one on?
Yeah. Okay.
This is his first fully colored shirt, I might add. It looks like he scribbled it in MS Paint.
Okay. So what we have here is set on a baby blue canvas. Chuck Norris riding the Empire State Building in a very victorious manner, staring off into the sunset as Walker, Texas Ranger would, while King Kong hangs from underneath the Empire State Building. And so this would be the Urban Cowboy and King Kong on for Andy's team here.
Once again, the references that you're pulling off here are just so spectacular. Obviously, you are paying your respect. You're giving a nod to Andy, who dwells in New York City, who's from Texas. Therefore, his pun, if you will, of living in New York as an urban cowboy. And King Kong is just there for artistic interpretation. Or care to comment, Brent? Was there any?
I'll take credit for all of that, even though really it's like, just the very first thing that comes to your mind when you think of an urban cowboy. I mean, the first thing that pops in your mind is obviously Chuck Norris riding the Empire State Building.
I feel like Brent describing these is as if he entered into a fugue state while doing it, and it's like he's not quite recollecting exactly what he was doing at the time. Just totally got into the zone.
Yeah.
So the last one we have is Brock. His team name is South Boston Saints. This one I really enjoyed. The South Boston Saints is a reference to the Boondock Saints, the movie. Which Brock really enjoys, but which, you know, two kind of soulmate fellows who take on the mob in Boston. And Brent has interpreted that as Ben Affleck and Matt Damon wearing a Red Sox jersey and a Gronk jersey with halos above their heads, assault rifles across their chest, and what appears to be an A-bomb exploding behind them.
Very good description, Pete. Very well done. That is exactly what it is.
Something about going from the brothers in the Boondock Saints to Ben Affleck and Matt Damon really resonated with me. So... got one third of the lead down, the rest to go. Brent, I think you should have done your own team first, or at least somewhere in that first batch. So I look forward to seeing what you do with the rest of the league.
The if you want to know what the order is, I just went to the league member page and pulled up the members and just started going through the list. So if you want to know who's coming up next, that'll be who it is. Just to cut a little bit of suspense out of there.
All right. Just pulling back the curtain a little bit. I like it.
Yep. My method to the madness.
So, Brent, as of right now, before week seven, you're currently sitting at 2-4. However, you are within the incumbent division, sitting in fifth out of six with 776 points for and 802 points against. Now, by comparison, I am also sitting in fifth place within the Challengers division with 720 points. So a good, 50 points or so less than you. And 785 points against, which again, about 15 points away from your points against. However, I'm going into week 7-4-2. You're going into week 7-2-4. Would you care to comment on such a discrepancy?
Yeah, the first word or two words that would come to mind would be crippling depression. Really? And
should we be worried about your health?
Yes, my mental health, my physical health, just all of it. You may want to get an intervention prepared because it's been that season so far. So,
well, let's talk about why. You were making a very compelling argument with Jared earlier in our chat. tell us what is going on.
Well, so I was looking at my list of my team last week, and I was making some trades, trying to, like Pete had talked about getting rid of some people you just are souring on a little bit and picking up people you're happy about having on your team. And I was looking at that, I'm thinking, oh man, my lineup is about to be killer. And then I guess that phrase was bad because all of a sudden Doug Martin suffered another setback, and then Eddie Lacy ended up on the IR, and then phantom injuries popped up for Theo Riddick and Jordan Reed midweek. And it was like, who am I even going to start on my team anymore? And so, it just, sometimes the crap hits the fan. And this week, even, it was one of those things where it was like, I need to start Ty Montgomery in my wide receiver slot, and I need to start a tight end. And the only place I can fit Ty Montgomery is in my flex spot, but I have to put him there on a Thursday night because he plays on Thursday. So that kills my flex spot for the rest of the week. So it's just been a season of, what are you going to do? So you throw your hands up in the air. You think, well, without the injuries, it would have been good. So, just hope you can tread water. I still think if I can somehow manage a healthy team where if I get Doug Martin and Theo Riddick and Jordan Reed all back, then put those guys in, plug those holes in the lineup, and all of a sudden I feel great about my team. But
sure.
I'm worried it's going to be too little too late at this point.
Do you have regrets about the trades you have made so far? I think this is probably the most active I've ever seen you in the trade market in a season. How has it felt to get into those waters? Do you have any serious regrets at this point?
I mean, beyond hindsight's always 20/20. I think the trades were pretty fair, and I like I said, with some of the guys I'm giving away were guys I thought were at the high point, and the guys I'm acquiring were the guys I thought were at the low point. Did I think Eddie Lacy was going to get put on IR 2 weeks later? No, but I try not to beat myself up over that because no matter how good you are at fantasy football, you still can't see the future. So I don't feel bad about that. I feel like Randall Cobb's coming back this week and showing that, he's had some downtime, but he'll pull out of it. And I think I'm trying to even remember who else I acquired. But, AJ Green. Yep. You always feel good about having AJ Green on your team. So, whenever I can pick up top-tier talent like that. And Eddie Lacy was one of those guys where I wasn't worried about him until he gets hurt. So, I felt good about all the trades. I don't regret making the trades. I wish I had my injuries hitting me in individual slots a little bit better, as opposed to just taking out all of my running backs and leaving blanks in my running back position, or taking out all my wide receivers 1 week. And, I hate having gaps I can't fill in my lineup. And that's been probably the worst part about it. Last week was really bad because I was looking at trying to find one wide receiver to put in there. So I was looking at Kenny Britt. I was looking at the guy you picked up, Tate, Golden Tate. I was looking at Eli Rogers. I was looking at, there were some other guys. There was like two other guys. I could have picked up and started any of them and won my matchup. And I started Sammy Coates and lost because he got nothing. So it was one of those just, you know, days where you just put your head down and you're like, I'm horrible at fantasy football. And I made the one move that lost me the game. And what are you going to do? Just happens. So who knows? Maybe it all the luck will balance out and somehow get into the playoffs and maybe I'll be healthy. So who knows?
Well, with the plugging the holes on the roster, you really threaded the needle with at least the Packers this week on the Thursday night game, because the Packers, they ran a lot of plays. They put up 26 points, but it didn't come from the most expected sources, with Jordy Nelson only catching one pass. But you rostered Ty Montgomery and Randall Cobb, who both kind of went crazy with combined 50 points. So you're definitely sitting pretty for this week. So well done there. Agree with the assessment that if you get some guys back healthy and can avoid injuries on the rest of the team, I think the pickups you have made, the trades you have made, you're in good shape. I mean, your two best wide receivers haven't even played yet, with AJ Green and Mike Evans. And so this should be a pretty good week for you, I would think.
And I've gotten a lot of my buys out of the way early. I had a lot of buys early in the season. So Mike Evans has already been on bye. Doug Martin's buy is already gone. Green Bay's buys are already gone. So all that stuff has kind of been combining. I think even Jimmy Graham's bye week is gone. So there's a lot of bye weeks combined with injuries that even caused it even more early on pain. So before Eddie Lacy went on the IR, and before Doug Martin had his setback, I was actually feeling pretty good about my team's chances of putting together enough wins to eke into the playoffs. It was just those two additional setbacks and the fact that Theo Riddick's leg broke out of nowhere after having a monster week. All of a sudden he got hurt on midweek or something, was just, you know, well, what are you going to do? So it happens. Well,
I guess what you're going to do is make t-shirt designs.
Yeah, that's the only way.
Well, it calls for a lot of shirts, but you're right. Yeah. I'm looking at your team, and I really, if you were to rewind the season and say, all right, this is your starting team, and read these names from roster all the way through the bench, we'd be looking at your team going, well, crud, there's your second year runner, and that's it. Like, you have the epitome of an injury-riddled team. And yeah, that's what you're dealing with.
He's not even on that list anymore. He's already been dropped. So sure, you throw him back in there, and you look at everybody else that's on the team, and I feel great about all the names on the team. I just feel terrible about their condition.
Their condition.
Oh. Well, maybe even Sammy Coates, not only did he break his finger on his breakout game, but then Ben Roethlisberger went down with a knee injury. So now you don't have a healthy receiver or quarterback on that team. So his value's plummeted. So it's just like, you just shake your head. And I know Jared's had a rough time too. I feel bad for him. And when I used to track the injury stuff, because I felt so snake bit. I thought, I wonder if it's just me or if everybody suffers from a ton of injury stuff. And I think that's the case, is that everybody suffers probably at least one to two. For the most part, people suffer one to two big injuries a year, it seems like, when I used to track it. Like, Pete, I know you had been, you weren't counting on Dez getting hurt, so that sucked. And then, you know, Jared went through his litany of injuries he's had. So if you avoid the injury bug, I think that's the outlier versus everybody generally has, you know, a few major injuries.
Yeah, I don't recall last year. I think you still had a couple of injuries last year, but I think last year was probably one of your most healthy seasons. And I think there's always like one team every year who just seems to avoid it somehow, and just it basically, I think Derek's done this before. He might have done it last year in his second place finish. I think he was the lucky team last year who had basically no injuries and had to make very few moves all season long, drafted well, didn't really have to make any moves, and just carried a strong team all throughout the year.
Yeah, and when you get like a Devontae Freeman, that really, injuries combined with Devontae Freeman, that'll put you up on top. And, you know, well, like last year I had Le'Veon Bell get hurt, but thankfully I had him handcuffed with D'Angelo Williams, so that didn't hurt. And then I lost Keenan Allen, but I had the depth there to cover up that. So even then, those are two big players that I found a way to dodge those bullets. But some years you can't stack them deep enough to, you know, you lose four running backs in one week, what are you going to do? You're like, well, there goes the team. So,
yeah, especially because we play in a smart league, and a lot of times you go, you're like, oh, a guy got hurt, I'm gonna get his handcuff, and you find out he's already rostered, and right. we don't have super deep benches here to try to keep the waiver wire, you know, fresh with useful players. So yeah, it's tough to build the right bench to cover up holes if you lose a guy to injury like that.
Yeah, like this week, I'm seriously looking at possibly starting Mike Gillislee and Sean Drawn as my two starting running backs, and that always makes you feel great inside.
Well, yeah. They will definitely do better than Justin Forsett did last week for you. So you got that one.
Yeah, and again, I mean, I'm staring at the waiver wire just thinking, I've got to put somebody in that slot. I don't know who it is. I can't cut all these people from my team. I'm looking at my team like, who am I going
to
cut?
That's kind of the question, is that are you going to make a trade to fill your running back spot? That's your big issue.
I would love to, but I think a lot of people are a little bit thin there, because running back in itself is just always kind of thin. In fact, when I traded my running backs away, I felt pretty stacked at my running back. So I traded away Jordan Howard to you, and then I traded away Ryan Matthews to Chris.
I'm prepared to give you back Jordan Howard. If you want Jordan Howard back, I would gladly give him back to you. You just send AJ Green my way, and we'll call it a done deal right here on the air.
Yeah, no, I was thinking about that. I saw his stat line today, which wasn't great. So I am happy about being able to turn a waiver wire pick into AJ Green. So I thank you for that, which is maybe that'll get me through until Doug Martin's healthy again next year.
Mm-hmm. That was definitely the selling high point. You definitely hit that one just right. That was kind of crazy because Jordan Howard was going from a literal every down back, you know, 95%, 90% of the snaps week in, week out, to all of a sudden he got like 2/3 of the snaps last week, and he's probably like 50-50 timeshare this week. So, you know, that's just that's miserable to see that happen to one of your guys who's been out there producing. But good thing for you is you got the good part of Jordan Howard and got out when the bad part came.
Yeah, and Seth, I'd feel better if you didn't take Demaryius Thomas and leave me with Eddie Lacy. So maybe we're square on this.
I'd say we're pretty square.
Call it even.
call it even.
We're all friends.
So this week you are facing Andy. Andy had started Aaron Rodgers in his QB spot, who put up 26 points, 26.7 points personally, with over 300 yards and 3 touchdowns tonight. But you benefited from Randall Cobb and Ty Montgomery's performance, so you're up on Andy by a handful of points so far. Right now you're projected to win by about 20 points or so. So
without a kicker and with Theo Riddick in there, who's projected to score 0. So that projected total should be about 20 points higher.
Yeah, I'll probably pick up a kicker. I just got to find some. I was hoping to cut Eddie Lacy once Doug Martin was on IR. I was going to cut Eddie Lacy, but I forgot that Eddie Lacy was going to lock tonight. So I'll have to find something else to do. I'll have to cut somebody else to put a kicker in. But
I see Justin Forsett still there on the roster. Yeah. I think that probably wouldn't pain you too much.
Yeah. Well, as soon as I cut him, though, he'll end up good again. I had the opportunity to get Jay Ajayi earlier this year, and he was left off the bus. So I was chasing Kenyon Drake for a while over there in Miami, and I've chased Miami running backs for years because I had Lamar Miller on my team when he was a rookie, and I was looking at him as maybe a keeper. And then he was plagued by the Daniel Thomas, you know, nightmare scenario for years, and then they finally got rid of him, and now we're chasing Arian Foster and whoever else there. So I fell into the chase the Miami running back scenario this year again, and so I've been chasing the Detroit running backs this year with Dwayne, I can't remember his name, and he got hurt, and then now I'm chasing Justin Forsett, who's been terrible. So I don't know. Someday, hopefully, I'll stick on something, but for now, I'm just doing that revolving door at that running back slot, so maybe he'll be the next guy out.
Well, maybe so. Andy's also got Matt Forte, Terrence West up in his RB spots. He's got Sanu Floyd and Fuller in the wides, and of course, Kobe Fleener as his tight end, Giovanni Bernard and flex. Packers did a good job on defense tonight, and Mason Crosby put a few K's through the goalposts. So It's yours to lose, Brent. I think that you are in a good position, especially if you get those roster spots taken care of. You look good this week. Maybe we can turn that losing streak of two into a 3-4 record, which would match a few more records. Andy would go to 2-5, and that would break his one-game winning streak coming off of last week. But I think you're going to be all right. Take care of those spots, and let's talk about a trade this weekend if you want to.
Yeah, well, and Andy, if you're listening, I do want to trade with you. I feel like maybe you may not be too eager to trade with me on the week we play, but get with me next week and maybe we'll work something out because you got some good running backs. So Andy keeps telling me he'll make me a trade. I may take him up on that one.
Apparently he was in a really good mood last night to make a trade. According to our group chat, he was under the influence of maybe some possible inebriation. I tried it out. I sent him a horrible trade and he didn't bite. So I was pretty disappointed. I tried to take advantage of his stupor.
Yeah, he may have been exaggerating how eager he was to make bad trades, I think.
Maybe so.
His team looks like it'll be also one of those teams that'll probably be better on the stretch run. You know, if Dez comes back after the bye and all that other stuff, he's got some questionables there that may help him out after this week.
Sure.
Well, we still have I think 5 weeks until the trade deadline, so there's still plenty of time to get a deal done. So that we have that on the positive side of things, and as more teams perhaps start to drop out of the race, we might see some more interesting moves made as we look at, start to look more at keeper value and less at just this season. So,
yeah, that'll be my next concern. If I lose a couple more games, is trying to find someone to keep. That may be my only concern after a little while.
You may have to make that decision on like projected recovery. Like that may be your only option when it looks to keepers is like how few days of recovery does this person have from their injury? That's going to be your keeper. He's got a 6-month prognosis. Bam. That's plenty of time. Plenty of time for therapy. You can go outpatient.
Well, you know, and you I love fantasy football. I love doing the analysis. And it's like you put together a team you're proud of and you want them to go out there and kick some butt. And it happened last year finally, which was awesome. And I was like, okay, this year it's going to happen. And then, and, you know, this year was just one, another injury year. And you just think, man, that looked like such a good team until they all died. And then, so who knows? Maybe it'll have to wait until next year. But, you know, if that's what it is, then that's what it is.
Well, we think you have the right attitude about it, and thanks for cranking out those shirts. We're looking forward to more.
Yeah, I'll keep them coming. Like I said, I just need to, you know, close my eyes and visualize that happy place.
And drop acid, apparently, because that's just about what it looks like. Well, Brent, thanks for joining us tonight, man. We appreciate you. Look forward to seeing how you do this weekend, and hopefully you'll bounce back and make a run.
Yeah, thanks, guys. It's good to see you guys.
Yep, well, have a good night. We'll talk to you later.
All right, moving on. As we discussed last week, we were sad to announce that Brian from our lead is not going to be returning next season for his own personal decision, which is a shame. He shall be missed. But to our surprise, we heard very quickly of interest from outside parties, listeners of the podcast who wanted in the lead, and it was a very quick response. It took about 14 hours from the time the podcast was published for you to hear back from someone, and then it just that party, that interested party, just continued to raise the game as far as wanting to get into the lead. And so I believe we are now joined by what will be the next lead member of the Pelwood Fantasy Football League, Chris Clark.
Chris, you're on Truth and Rec. How are you, sir?
I'm excellent. How are you, gentlemen?
So first of all, welcome to the show, and a early welcome to the lead to you, sir.
Oh, well, thank you.
So you hadn't heard it officially, but there was just really no doubt about it. No. So I'm shocked that anyone listens to this, basically at all.
Yeah,
but especially,
it's very flattering.
Especially anyone outside of our fantasy football league. So when and last week's podcast, due to the schedule of it all, it didn't get published until I think like Sunday night.
Right.
And at that point, it's almost irrelevant because you know, a lot of it's talking about the upcoming week, et cetera, et cetera. And yet, at minute 29. We made the announcement of the lead opening, and on Monday morning, you were on the ball reaching out to Seth saying that you wanted in.
I mean, I'm a loyal listener. I subscribe on iTunes, and so, you know, it pops up on my phone when I'm driving into work and in between meetings and stuff. You know, it's there.
Well, that's awesome. And so, like I mentioned last week, I had, you know, two basic requirements. One is paying the league dues, and the second is being an active member of the league. And someone proactively already listening to the podcast before even being in the league, it doesn't get much more proactive than that. But then you really stepped it up another level when today Seth forwards to me an application letter and fantasy football resume to express your interest and just sold out desire to be in this league, which, I mean, really, all you current league members, I didn't get this from any of you. This is unprecedented involvement already, and not even in the league yet. So this is fantastic.
It is incredible.
And I just want to thank you for your courage.
We're thankful for your courage. We are thankful for your allegiance, your loyalty, and your initiative that you've taken here to pursue the Pellwood League via the channel of Truth and Rec. Now, what I'd like to do, Chris, I feel like it's necessary to introduce you, because now at this moment there are anywhere between, I don't know, probably 10 other league members up to thousands of listeners, somewhere in between that number, I'm sure is safe. Conservative would be more on the 5 to 8 people, but we're going to go with thousands. That are listening, and I feel a duty to introduce who you are. Now, you assigned your official letter of intent, Chris Chewy Clark. Now, Chewy was the nickname that was dubbed to you, given that you are have been described rather as a large Wookiee of a man. You are an astonishing 6 foot
yes.
two. You have a beard that rivals most men. And you have a presence that, while not Wookiee-like in an offensive way, you certainly have a character about yourself. You also have a jovial sense. You are a companion. And so to be dubbed Chewy is appropriate in more ways than just physical description of who you are. Now, you are also a good sport, and that you adopted the Chewy name and you ran with it. You held on to it. You were willing to own it despite the tone of which it was applied to you with such affection. So I feel like it would be a rational thing to do to introduce you to our league members. I'd like you, if you would, to please bless us with the oral presentation of your letter of intent. Would you be willing to read that for us?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Here we go. Dear Mr. Martin and Mr. Elwood, in 2006, coincidentally, the debut year of the Pellwood League, my uncle invited me to my first ever fantasy football league. I drafted LaDainian Tomlinson in the first round because of his huge upside in the passing game, and I rode his lone MVP season all the way to playoffs, only for Carson Palmer to cheat me out of a championship. I haven't drafted him since. The highs and lows of that season a decade ago gave birth to an addiction to the trade block and the waiver wire. My life hasn't been the same since. This past Monday, my soul delighted as I listened to the roughly 29th minute of the Truth and Reconciliation podcast. Could it be true? Is the Fame League that Seth has bragged about possibly have an opening? This could be the best thing that has happened to me since drafting LT. Don't tell my wife or son. I would like to officially express my interest, nay, enthusiasm, in regards to the soon-open team manager position within your league. I think you'll find I'm quite an active owner and pay my dues on time. Sincerely, Chris Chewy Clark.
Just drop the mic. Just slam dunk. I don't know if you have a lot of experience on job interviews, but you really hit all the points there. I mean, just showing knowledge of the history of the league, knowing what the requirements were. Checking every box. It was a pleasure to read. We were already going to choose you after you reached out last Monday, but this just really put it over the top.
Absolutely. He goes on, Chris Chewy goes on in his application submission to present his resume in a format, mind you, that would play to my heartstrings in his font choice. The listing of experience, his education, sports affiliations, which was further endearing himself to us, which I'm going to read presently. Other podcasts he listens to that he would elevate us up into the same category of greatnesses, like Entree Leadership, Ask Gary V, Will and Kate. Of course, he listed a few notable 2016 draft picks. I mean, this is gold, Chris. It's gold.
Now, you've glazed over one particular point that I'd like to call out and just highlight a little bit. And that's the under the experience category.
Oh, boy.
We see unofficial consultant to Seth Martin from 2015 to present.
Yes. Which,
now, Seth brought an assistant to the draft this year, and that person was not you, Chris. So now we are hearing of multiple...
oh boy, we got another scandal on our hands. All right,
that Seth is bringing to the table just all the firepower behind the Truth and Reconciliation team. It's a little overwhelming and very illuminating. So now, given Seth's performance, I don't know if this is exactly like a feather in your cap that you've consulted him on his team, but it's certainly that jumped off the page at me.
I think he's playing the loyalty card, if I may. He knows my record. He also knows the skin of my teeth victories that I've had this year. But he's also a...
You could very easily be 2-4 at this point.
I probably should be 2-4. My Monday night victories are... but see, even that, he's familiar with the progression of the league, and he is, it's
like he's already part of the league.
It really is. Here are his sports affiliations I'd like to highlight. Yeah, obviously, he's a Baylor Bear. It's where he received his BA from. His NFL affiliation is the Dallas Cowboys. His MLB affiliation would be the Texas Rangers. My favorite comment following NBA affiliation of Dallas Mavs was NHL. Go back to Canada, unless you're the Stars, go back to Canada, unless the Stars are in the playoffs. Just very well done, Chris. Very well done.
Thank you, sirs.
So we're looking forward to having you join our league. We're looking forward to that, although Brian will certainly be missed, Chris is going to make an incredible addition to our league. Now, the moniker Chewy may have to be utilized simply to bring distinction between you and our other Chris-named member of the league. However, I don't think that'll be a problem. We're excited to have you. What are you most looking forward to in being a part of the Pellwood Fantasy Football League, Chris?
I'm looking forward to my first auction draft next fall. Very first. Only done snake draft so far. And from what I read on the internet, I'm a complete noob for snake drafting only. So we'll see.
I really hope we'll be able to do another one in person like we did this year. And seeing that you are in proximity to Seth, that you can both make the trek up and we can do it all together. I will look forward to meeting you then.
Absolutely. Chris, thank you for joining us tonight, sir, and thank you for going to such effort to demonstrate your desire to be a part of what we're doing. It is flattering, It is humbling. We do appreciate that, and we're very much so looking forward to have you part of the Pellwood League in 2017.
Thanks, guys. Good luck this week.
Thanks very much. We'll see you on the airwaves. All right. Well, that is exciting news. And Pete, I hope you're as excited as I am about our newly found league member. As the commissioner, how do you feel about all this going down the way it has?
I am. I was trying to figure out in my head if we should introduce Chris to Brian. And I don't know if Brian would let him start to get involved with the team this year as far as making any trades for any keeper options and that sort of thing. So I didn't want to step on Brian's toes or, you know, kick him out the door too soon. But I was trying to figure out how we can navigate those waters and kind of be fair to Chris coming in, making sure he has some equity in the team that he's inheriting.
I don't think that would be amiss, honestly. I do think that would be something that would be helpful to Clark, to Chewy, Chris Clark, because as he mentioned, he's going to be new to the auction draft next year, and new to the auction draft already sets you back enough when you are competing with the experience. Not to say we're the best at that, but you're definitely competing with an experience with us inside that. So I'd say the more we can help him out on the entry ramp, the better.
All right. Sounds good. Let's do it. So as we jump back into our kind of usual cadence here, take a quick look at the standings. So after last week, Ben and Brock both won, so they sit atop the leaderboard at 5-1 each. Where Seth, you took a hard loss. You
back down below the Christian radio station numbers.
Close victory after close victory to the sub Christian radio station output. So I mean, really, that's the only two times you've lost this year is when you're in the sub 90 range. So just score over 90 and you win 100% of the time.
That's right.
I mean, that's pretty obvious what you got to do there.
That's right.
But like I mentioned earlier, we do have four teams sitting at 3-3, and that rounds out the top eight, where then Brent and Andy sit at 2-4 apiece. So their matchup is a little extra interesting there because they're kind of the dividing line. The winner will, you know, obviously move up to 3-4 and back in the playoff hunt, where the loser is going to be running out of breathing room. So that's kind of where we stand as we come into this week.
Sure is. Well, I am. I'm definitely concerned. Last week we were anxious to discuss my winning by the seat of my pants kind of record that I had, and the hope is that I don't just plummet. And your power ranking comment especially was very humorous and spot on towards me this week. That was fun.
Did that cut a little deep?
Oh, it cut pretty deep. it rang true, and that those are the words that hurt deep the most. You know, those are the words that cut the deepest. But I am up against Brock this week, and right now I'm currently projected to be losing by about 25 points or so. Jordan Howard's performance tonight and their loss against Green Bay did not help me whatsoever. I think by the third quarter he had a whopping 10 yards, and so my overall opportunity of winning this week up against Brock, who has just been crushing it, who would be on a 6-0 winning streak if he had not just faced his father and lost to the only team that could beat him. So, what's your take on our matchup? Any positive things to say to me tonight, or do we just need to move on?
No, really, your team looks fine across the board. No one jumps out as a serious hole. I don't see the massive upside from any one position, per se, and obviously Jordan Howard scoring too hurts a lot. You know, Brock's team is rock and rolling. I mean, it's solid, and he's finding like a new hero every week to put up the big points for him. And so he's in another good spot in this week, and I mean, it would be a surprise to me right now if you were to come back and win this one, but stranger things have happened. Just saying that would shock me.
Yep. It would shock me too. All right. Well,
but you know, I'm rooting for you.
Yep. Well, I appreciate that.
You know, for what that's worth.
Oh, it's, I mean, power ranking comment aside, I'll take your comment with a grain of salt, but let's talk about Michael Simmons and Derek Irwin. We have a 3-3 with, let's talk about Michael Fitzsimmons and Derek Irwin. We have a 3-3 up against a 1-5. Derek scraping out a win thus far, but is currently sitting in a pretty, well, honestly, as you mentioned earlier, as we reach the midpoint of the season, obviously playoff potential is the running thread of our discussions. Last week, I predicted that Lamar Miller would have the game of his season up against Indianapolis, and sure enough, he had 24 attempts with 149 yards and a touchdown, which equated to nearly 35 points for a victory for Abe Froman's sausage, which meant the squish factor was definitely increasing. However, Derek is still sitting in a playoff run position that is, seems unlikely. What's your take?
Yeah, the window is closing for Derek here. I think he does have a winnable game this week. I think Michael had his best week of the year last week. That was against me. It didn't feel good. It hurt a lot. But it wasn't. You know, I knew. As we talked about it last week, it definitely was a matchup that scared me. So I wasn't too surprised to lose, but he did it in very authoritative fashion. Where I think this week Derek actually has a chance for an upset here. You know, Alshon Jeffrey only scored 6 points for Michael. That always helps when you see kind of a single digit performance on the Thursday night game on the other side. But I think Derek has a chance at this one. He's in 11th place right now in the power rankings. He's also 11th place in points scored, so it's kind of justifiable where he sits right now. But I definitely think he has a chance in this one.
Yeah. All right. Well, who's your money on?
I'm going to take Derek. I feel like this is going to be another week where it actually works for him to play both of the Atlanta running backs, which is just so bizarre to me that has been working, where they're both, you know, viable starting plays, but I think they've got a good matchup against San Diego at home this week, and they will they'll both do well. So I think those two guys, probably not a sustainable model for success to have two running backs from the same team carrying the load for you each week, but I think it's gonna work out this week for Derek.
Okay. Yeah, probably so. Yep. I'm gonna have to lean that way as well. We've already talked about Brent and Andy's matchup, but do you have any further comments or care to peg your leaning before we move on?
I mean, based on how things have worked out Monday night, actually they both had good performances on Monday night, or sorry, on the Thursday night game. But just, you know, Brent got the above and beyond performance on the Thursday night game, so right. it's shaping up looking really good for him this week. And you know, we've seen the strong Thursday night performer still lose and have a disappointing rest of the weekend, but this one's looking good for Brent. I have a hard time seeing him drop here.
Yep. Well, moving on to your matchup, you're facing off with Scott Manoai this week, and this is a very intriguing game to me because you guys are closely projected and you guys are both 3-3, despite Scott's team seemingly just on a charge over the past few weeks of fantasy. How are you feeling going up into week 7 against Scott Manoai?
Yeah, this is not the matchup I want this week. I lost last week and could really use a win this week. I don't want to fall below 500. So going up against Scott is certainly not something I'm looking forward to. I feel like this is going to be a pretty low scoring game. I don't love my team this week. I don't really love his team this week. And I think his Broncos defense against Houston at home might be one of the, you know, highest scoring individual performances. So we'll see what happens there. It hurts to only get 2 points from Cameron Meredith for me on Thursday night. That's hurt my projection and definitely weakens my outlook for the rest of the matchup. But I'm going to pick Scott in this one right now. I'm going to need Brandon Marshall and Allen Robinson to kind of go crazy for me to have a shot, I think. So yeah. I lost Ben Roethlisberger last week. I wouldn't have been super excited about playing him this week. I was already planning on picking up Jameis Winston this week because Roethlisberger has a bye week next week. So starting Winston, I think he'll be fine, not fantastic. I think I'm expecting to lose, but hoping to win.
Right. Well, I mean, well said. I mean, I like your attitude.
I'm really lighting a fire under the guys in the clubhouse.
Clearly,
that's my message to them too. It's just, hey, you know what, guys? Expecting to lose, but let's hope we can win. That's our strategy, is just to hope for it really hard.
I feel like you are going to lose as well, but I don't mean that in a way that says, but I'm rooting for you. Hang on. Like, let me finish. I can't agree.
Gosh, so mean.
Here's the thing.
I would never say that about your team.
You have and did, and I can prove it. I have recordings, archives of it, really. A catalog library of insults into meaning. anyway, so losing Big Ben is troublesome for you, on top of Le'Veon Bell being up against New England this week. You're going to need some very, very strong performances from very, very key players on your team in order to be competitive up against a very solid looking matchup up against Scott this weekend. So I'm pulling for you, buddy. I really am, but my money's on Scott for the win.
Fair.
Don't cry.
Yep. I won't
edit it out. There's no crying in fantasy. Not until the end of the season, anyway.
Oh man, can you imagine getting to the point where you would actually be crying about fantasy football?
No, that's never happened. I've never, never. I don't know what that would be like. I would imagine that it would mix with the shower water, and nobody would know, and that would be a safe place to do it. If I were to, you know, pick a spot to take care of my emotions, before I do it.
Sorry, I didn't mean.
I think I was in 11th place last year, Pete. 11th place. All right, just back off.
That's, I mean, okay, back off. So 11th place does not induce crying, because that is like that's a slow death that everyone's expecting, and eventually you just slip off peacefully.
Hey, loss is loss. All right.
The crying would have to be like you're playing in a league with a massive life-altering buy-in, and you lose on the very last play.
Okay, well, I'm not going to sit here and try to justify an emotional reaction to losing.
So sensitive. So sorry.
Right. All right, well, we got a big matchup between Ben and Jared this week as well. Jared is on a 3-game losing streak despite having one of the stronger teams from the beginning of the season. Ben, however, is on a 5-game winning streak. And I'll say this, despite having done, I think, comparably, the least amount of research possible prior to a draft, yet he has come out of the woodwork. He's been, I would describe him as stony when it comes to trade talks. He has a high evaluation of his team, and he's held on to some key players this last week. Particularly, he was, I think OBJ was his biggest dangling option out there, and he ended up hanging on to him, and that paid off big. So he's going in, but right now they've got a very, very close and low projection total, under 110, although they're both projected within a point and a half of one another. So what's your take on this matchup?
I mean, this one looks like it's going to be an ugly bloodbath. Right now, Ben is getting crushed with the bye weeks because he has 3 Dallas Cowboys on bye, along with Jonathan Stewart. So his starting running backs are Niall Davis and Matt Asiata, who are not running backs you want to be starting. Niall Davis scored a whopping half of a point for him, so already off to a slow start there. His wide receivers are looking pretty good, though. Can't complain with that. Jared is rolling out Derek's strategy of starting 2 running backs from the same team with both of the Chiefs running backs. He has not been helped by the Thursday night game, with Jordy Nelson only registering 1.9 points and Zach Miller getting 6 on his own. So running out of players to start registering some points. I mean, I like Ben's wide receivers. I like Jared's running backs. I think the quarterbacks end up about even here. Maybe a slight edge to Jared. So this one's going to be really close. You know, Ben's 5-1, Jared's 3-3. I would love for Jared to win this one, but maybe Ben just has a little bit of that magic this season, and maybe he pulls this one out.
Yep, we shall see. I would love to see Ben get stumped here this weekend just to break that winning streak, but he looks like that actually might be viable. So because of his dreaded, like his cowboy dependency. So we shall see if the Gankers, having just learned what that word means, will take on the victory this weekend.
Yeah. Hey, look at me. I'm going to pick Ben to win this
one. Ah, I see. I get you. I read you. subtle. Yeah, subtle.
That doesn't play well on for all the listeners out
that's
there.
Right. That's right. I remember what I was going to say about Brent, by the way. Maybe it's possible that Brent, being as injury-riddled as his team has been, that by being on the podcast, our podcast curse will be inverted, and his players will come out of the woodwork, out of the hospital ward, wherever they may be, off the IR and into greatness.
You know, if Brent wins this week, we will be like a perfect 4-for-4 on teams with winning records lose after being on the podcast, and teams with losing records win after being on the podcast. So, and it looks like that'll happen. So we've got a good thing going.
Yeah. I'd say that 4-for-4 takes us into the realm of it's a thing.
Yeah.
It's we're a like valid thing.
Illustrated cover level thing.
Yeah. Here. Yeah. I'd agree with that entirely. Yep. All right. Well, last but not least, let's discuss Chris and Brian's matchup. We have a 4-2 on a 3-game winning streak up against a 1-5, having just put the 1 on the board last week, and that being Brian. So fitting that it would be the week that we announce his future resignation, that he records the W. Happy for him. However, this week his lineup is not looking awesome. He's currently projected to lose by nearly 40 points. Care to comment?
Yeah, he's got issues. He's got a couple of guys who are not going to play who he needs to replace. But Chris's team is rolling along. I think we picked him to win last week, and he still won. So just defying the odds there. it'd be hard to pick against him this week right now. And I'm surprised he's only projected for 132 points. That feels low given how he's been performing. But he does have Kelvin Benjamin and Greg Olsen on bye, and those are two very key players for him. So if Brian were to have a shot at knocking Chris off here, this is a good spot for it. You know, Chris has actually some tough matchups with Todd Gurley going against the Giants run defense, Kristen Michael against Arizona, Brandon Cooks is not at home in New Orleans where he's always so much better. Tyrell Williams has a tough matchup against Atlanta's top cornerback. You know, I think this may actually be one of the lower scoring weeks for Chris. And if Brian can get his lineup set, and you know, if Antonio Brown can find a way to survive having a terrible quarterback against New England, I think Brian actually might have a chance here. I'll just say this. It'll be closer than a 30, 40-point game like it will be projected.
Fair enough. The only thing that I think that might dispute that is that Tom Brady has thrown 3 touchdowns and nearly 400 yards. Tom Brady has thrown 3 touchdowns and nearly 400 yards in the past 2 games, and I don't think Pittsburgh's defense, as highlighted as it's been, can actually keep up with him. So that performance might help that projected spread open up a little bit more. We'll see. But that would take us to week 8, in which we begin to have discussions about mathematical probabilities, I believe. playoff run probabilities and our fancy spreadsheet. Isn't that right?
That might be a little bit early for it, but we can give it a shot. It might not really tell us anything. It'll probably say everyone has roughly the same chance, but I think we'll definitely see. We'll know that some have better chance than others.
Well, to be fair, on the Truth and Reconciliation podcast, I don't think we've ever talked about anything that wasn't valuable. Just, you know, to be fair.
Yeah, we do have that. That's a thing.
I think that all of our content is. Well, I'm done.
Way to finish strong.
I really just fizzled out right in the middle of it. Right in the middle of it.
Just keep it.
Well,
just leave it.
Good show, Pete. Any other closing comments before we wrap this one up?
Nope. We're crossing that halfway mark. One thing. Last week, we didn't have a single matchup that was close on Sunday night or Monday night.
Right.
It was a very drama-free evenings, which is the least fun. So I am hoping we will see a couple of those this week, even if they may be low scoring. It would be fun to get back into the tension of wondering who is going to pull out the victory on those night games.
Absolutely. It's all about the squish factor here in the Pellwood Fantasy Football League, because it's the greatest fantasy football league in the world, and this is its podcast. He's Peter Elwood. I'm Seth Martin. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Good night.